Hello and welcome to Illy's Coffee Talks, new season, the podcast about self-development, health, and spirituality. I am Ophélie Cabanero, your host. Enjoy the episode. Voilà. Alors, okay, in English. Welcome, Cyril and Cassian.
Hi.
Thank you for your time today.
Ophélie.
I'm super looking forward to this.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So we had Cyril on the podcast already a few times. Maybe, well, just quickly, Cyril is a coach and many other things. Do you want to add just in one short sentence what you do?
Yeah, I've shifted recently. I've decided to call myself a freedom teacher.
Right.
I guess that's what makes the most sense. That's what I'm seeing. Those are the results I'm seeing. So I'm just going to say I'm teaching people how to be free.
Awesome. So that's good?
That's it. Avid guitarist at the moment. Mm-hmm. And all sorts of other stuff. Singing, expressing myself in all sorts of different ways. Yeah. Yeah. That's what's going on at the moment.
Thank you, Cyril. And Cassian, we never had
hey.
You on.
Yeah, nice to be here. So I just recently also retitled myself. So I'm first and foremost, I'm a writer, I'm an author. So that's what I've been doing for years. And then I have all sorts of different creative pursuits, artistic events or otherwise. And from time to time, I teach people how to be a little more aligned with their uniqueness.
Yeah. With human design and other things.
Yeah, and other things. Connecting with time mechanics, lunar cycles, other types of astrology, like all sorts of systems in general that are either astrology-based, Western or otherwise. I'm really completely passionate about time mechanics in general, how different cycles of time work and how we are individually embedded in those cycles of time. And so I help people realign themselves with their own cycles.
Cool. And your book was about that, I believe, right?
The exactly. Movie. Yeah. So it's not published yet. It will be, I hope, in the next months. Who knows? You know, that's quite an adventure. So it's going to be called Moon Warriors. And it is a tale of how I discovered across 5 or 6 years how the lunar cycle worked and my intuitive journey into becoming a moon warrior myself and understanding how we can draw a lot of power from this feminine aspect of nature. And so, yeah, I sort of retrace my journey and share first my personal journey and anecdotes and crazy adventure stories that I had during those years. Yeah.
Is the experiment you did with Cyril in the woods in this book?
It is not in this book. That'll be for maybe something in the next story. No, these are stories. It's everything up to my arrival in Canada. So it's the 5 last years, some big important events up to my arrival in Canada. And so, yeah, nothing. All the stuff that's happened here, we'll have to tell in another book or another place.
Nice. Looking forward to reading it. So today we will talk about more specifically human design, or whatever you guys want to talk about, really. But
well,
it's free.
So we what came up for me was we wanted to talk. Then Cassian wanted to do a small introduction on what the system is, and instead of going into like crazy detail and going into the specifics of it, we really wanted to share how it changed us and how it touched us, what did it do for us, and why we're so still living it as to this day. And it seems like it's going to go on for a while. really what this brought to us, because what's the point of a system if there's no results, right? So I thought going from the results was a good idea.
Okay, so whoever wants to go first.
Sure, I'll jump in and give some quick background on what human design is. So human design is a conglomerate of different systems. So in its essence, it hasn't invented anything. So a man named Ra'uhu about 30 years ago encountered different systems and decided to merge them into one. So it's a mix of ancient tradition and sort of a modern point of view on things, all right? And it's an astrology-based system. So the important factor in human design is when you were born, right? That's really important. Most of the systems that I study or that we study are always astrology-based. So that's sort of the point in time when you were born, where you crystallize, where your existence came into being. That's really important because all of the planetary forces, the cosmic forces sort of influence you at that time and place and are going to give that uniqueness that we seek to understand. So that's sort of the point of origin of everything. And so
and the incarnation point as well. And the 6 months mark after conception, which is a really key point as well, which is the moment that we believe to be the one where the soul incarnates into the body.
Absolutely. Because as Cyril's mentioning, in Western astrology, for example, we look at the birth date, but in human design, there's another element that comes in is that we look at the birth date, but we also look at the incarnation date prior to, and then these both form together your energetic imprint. So what's really interesting about human design and the way it works, it's an understanding of your body. It's an understanding of your individual energy, right? And how that energy interacts with the world around it. It's the study of your aura. It's the study of how to navigate that specific auric imprint that you have, right? And so in the study, when you start to understand yourself and you look at yourself, you're going to get all these parameters, all these specific design points that are outlined in something called the body graph. And you're going to start to understand what your quest is energetically, how you interact, how you go about living your life, and how to best live in harmony with that specific imprint that you have. So yeah, there's lots of details to how this imprint works, but I believe we can tackle it with simplicity and sort of extract the wisdom that's there. And the wisdom is it's really understanding, all right, I have this unique energetic imprint. When I was born and my incarnation before have given me this specific, like a puzzle piece, right? You know, there's the humanity is a complete puzzle, and I've got this specific puzzle piece that has these little shapes on the side, and I have fit at one specific spot in the puzzle, and this will give me the outline. This will help me understand how I fit, right?
Thank you.
Want to add anything, Cyril? Or?
Pretty much sums it up. Yeah, I like the piece of the puzzle analogy because there's not supposed to be two pieces of a puzzle that are the same. And that's really what this is about. It's extremely, it's a real journey into discovering that uniqueness, you know, and I feel ultimately the more we discover our uniqueness and the more we discover our common humanity and the more that brings us together. It's that coming home effect.
So much wisdom for Tuesday
or morning
for
in.
You guys. So you talk about uniqueness, and yet there are five, I believe, different major types.
There are four major types, indeed, and there's a great majority of the population which falls into the category of what is called generators, and which are people that have access to a very constant source of energy, I would say, and would be the builders of this world, and people who are people who get satisfaction from using their energy in a very correct way. And then we have other types like projectors, and I'll let Christian talk about that one because he's a projector.
Yeah, so that's what's interesting about these different types is really the energy mechanics that we have and our way to interact with each other. So as a projector, for example, I'm more of a receptive entity than a generative entity. So it's more me reacting to the world and sort of guiding energy to one side or to the other from a sort of more distant point of view. And then we would have another energy type, like the manifestor, for example, which I believe, hopefully, you are.
Yeah, it's nice. We have three different ones on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, well, I'll let you talk about manifestors.
All right. Well, manifestors are, to talk a little bit metaphorically, the sort of go-getters, the initiators, because they have the way their energy works is they push things forward, right? They're really at the initiative. They sort of have this free will of using their energy to move things forward, and they thrive on being able to live out their purpose and do what they want. We all do, but specifically, they need to live in this space of freedom of action. And I think really what's interesting in that is that all of these types, yes, they have specificities and they all have a different mechanic, what we call a strategy to use and to live a more aligned existence. But in the end, it's just, yeah, it's just understanding. I find it so amazing that we have this sort of not guideline, but sort of, oh, okay, if I understand how this works for me, then I don't even really need to look at others anymore. I don't really need to compare myself anymore. I don't really need to figure out how other people work and how, no, I just figure out my system. And then naturally what happens, because I mean, we've been observing this for years now, because we've been in this experiment, right, for a few years. And now people react naturally, because the order of the world is alignment, right? Everyone wants to be aligned. And so when you start living out your true purpose and alignment, and you're in your mechanics of energy, the proper ones, people just react naturally to them, and things just seem to flow. So you sort of get back into that flow state, and you get to this point where you're not really thinking about it anymore. Because you're sort of getting into, you're like, oh, this is natural. This is where I'm supposed to be. And in that sense, human design is very liberating, because it sort of gives you very precise, especially when you start and you first get like either a reading or you go and do some research online. You're like, okay, what's my type? You get this realization that, oh, wow, all of these things or these default ways that I've been operating by, they're never going to work for me. I can just right now, put them out and like discard them. I'm never going to, well, it doesn't mean you're not going to do it, right? It's going to take you a while to get used to, but yes. you can discard them right away and say like, all right, I don't need to operate in this way anymore. I can just operate according to my mechanics.
Yeah. And that's where it starts shifting. That's really where it starts shifting into human design is an experiment. It's something, we were talking about this yesterday. It's something where you can get into the understanding of its system at a very deep level in a very deep mental way, or you can, what it's built for, get into the experiment right away. And this is really what human design is about. You'll only get to understand what it is once you experiment it. And like all things in life, I can tell you about all sorts of, start to describe you what, you know, this fruit that you never heard of tastes like. But until you've tasted it, there's absolutely no way that you will really connect to it. Mm-hmm. And that's what human design is about. It's going for the experiment, mm-hmm. operating with this strategy and the authority that's right for you. And after a certain amount of time, you can make your own conclusions. And well, in my case, in Gassien, it's been after one day I was convinced, and 5 years later, here I am. it's definitely the way to operate for me.
Yeah. I remember when Gassien gave me the reading, I was like, oh, that's why I'm like this and like that. And I used to feel so bad, and I still do, to be honest, sometimes, about the way I am. Like the fact that I heard this on a podcast, it was idea doula. You know, like I have tons of ideas, but I'm not interested in making them happen forever, right? Or doing the whole process. I wanna see it happen, but I don't wanna do the whole thing, for example. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And apparently it's normal. And so I was like, oh, nice. And it's
that's
just
what
made
you need
me
for. I can do stuff for you.
You can do it forever. Yeah. And Cyril, mm-hmm. you are a manifesting generator?
I'm a manifesting generator. Yeah. So it's a subtype of generators. Mm-hmm. It's slightly different in the energy, yet I still have the same main functionality as a generator, which is access to the sacral energy that we call on a constant basis. Mm-hmm. Those are all the specifics.
Yeah, sorry for the noise. Apparently there's a cleaning happening in one street in Vancouver.
I can cut the mic.
In Blood Alley. Well, I guess we were moving into this was the perfect transition to move into what we wanted to share. Me and Gassien. I guess I can start off and then you can continue, Gassien. Me and Gassien hadn't been... We've had a very troublesome childhood, and separation was enforced on us at a pretty young age, and I had to leave the house not being 18 yet. I think I was 16 or something, and Gassien was still 4 years younger, so he was 12. And we, since that moment until 5 years ago, we always had a really hard time understanding each other. We had a very hard time communicating in the long term. We would only connect in spurts of time frames and very rapidly fall into aggression towards one another and just never being able to understand each other. And what I can say from my side is that I had that tendency to try to turn my younger brother into another version of me. And I guess that's something that happens quite often with siblings. But in my case, it was really, I couldn't even understand and picture that he could have a radically different experience of life than I did. And that so many rules that apply to me did not ever apply to him. Mm-hmm. And also a great majority of the rules that I was applying to me didn't even apply to me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in that mayhem of let's normalize each other as much as possible, mm-hmm. that wasn't working. And so he discovered human design through a friend of him. And
she's born the same day as you, just for reference.
And she's born the same day.
For reference. Yeah, she's 21st December, not the same year, but the same day.
Oh, right. September. Yeah. And so she gave human design to Gassien. And I ended up calling him at some point. And he talked to, I think it had been a while. It had been like a couple of years. We hadn't been speaking, maybe one year. We hadn't been really speaking.
Yeah. We called it, I think, 2018.
Yeah. And then we had that, I jumped on that call and he said, do you know about human design? And I said, no. And the moment I said no, he just felt this like, oh my God, this is going to be great. You're going to love this. And I think that conversation lasted like 5.5 hours or something, which is a slow Tuesday now these days. And and it just made so much sense. It made so much sense because Kessian has such a different energetical imprint than mine. And at that moment, I really understood how radically different we were. And instantly I just let go of this whole desire to lecture, force, make. Yeah, exactly. There was this instant individuality of like, if I finally had a drawing to look at, that one of them was blue and the other one was bright red. And it's like, how can you expect these two to be the same? It's just not possible.
And that works in any kind of relationship, right? Like especially romantic relationship, that we tend to do that as well. I see it in mine, for example. And and yeah, the other person, my partner is a... My husband is a projector also. Mm-hmm. So it took me a while to to get it.
Yeah. And to let go and to like accept the differences. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's really great for that. We can both testify. It instantly healed whatever issues we had because of the recognition of differentiation.
Yeah, it definitely right away set us on a path where we could collaborate. And that completely changed the dynamic in our relationship and also, I guess, in the relationships of the people around us. Because suddenly we're not competing to be a same version of one human being. We can suddenly collaborate in our uniqueness. Suddenly everything that I have is what you don't have. Mm-hmm. And everything that you have is something that I need. And we can can start to do something together and it change everything.
Suddenly we each have a perfect spot and everybody on this earth only has one throne that's there for them and nobody else can take it. And all of a sudden it was this invitation to step into ours individually. Mm. It's great.
And I think it's really powerful, especially with our story as siblings, because I believe that, you know, brothers and sisters always suffer from, you know, not having enough food on the table for everyone. You know, someone's always getting a bigger piece of the pie sort of thing. And we're fighting over something. And there's always that resentment of one being having more love or more space or whatever it is, something, you know, there's always an inequality. And there it was like, it set everything. And so what happened is that we dove passionately into this system. Because it brought us so much. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we've been sharing it, teaching it, living that experience since then. And it's an empowering journey. It's an empowering journey.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And it's one tool that's, yeah, thank you. It's one tool that's extremely useful for deconditioning. And in this day and age where everything around us is constantly conditioning us, like we're always conditioned by our environment, you know, I know that if I stay living here in this forest in 10 years, I probably won't even speak English anymore. Well, it's the constant conditioning around us, you know, and this system is one that really brings that up to the surface and that really shows you and demonstrates where in your body are you actually getting conditioned and how is it, are you really making decisions for yourself? Are you really making correct decisions? Are you getting the right information and are you not being too influenced by other people? Other energies, places that you are. And so that's one of the great things that human design teaches. It's all about this deconditioning process and especially us learning to let go of mind-centered decision system or mind-based decision
making.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and into more of a heart one, or more of a whatever your strategy is, whatever, but one that's more based in the body and more based on a knowledge that we can't even grasp, something that we can let go into. And all of a sudden, well, when I feel my gut is saying me a big yes to something, it's time for me to go there. I don't need to listen to my mind anymore. Human design is there to help with that as well.
So does it help? Because then you know how to, so for example, you listen to your gut or sacral chakra. Mm-hmm. I'm emotional, so I need to wait a few hours or a few days, a few weeks.
So it is actually a bit more complicated that I am also emotional. There's some decisions I can take in the moment because they're very small, but when it comes to moving in with a partner, yeah, I'm probably going to give that a couple months or maybe a year or two before that actually happens, before I'm clear about it. There's all sorts of, I think there's seven different authorities in total. Yeah. And
it's really about awakening your inner body intelligence. So it means very different things for very different people. Even if someone would share the same authority, it would express itself in a different way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's really about diving in to find that truth, because there's that belief, right, that we get lost sometimes and that we don't know what to do, and that we try to make decisions with our mind and we're freaked out because we don't have enough money to pay our bills, or we're going to have to move around, or this or that, and everything that pushes us around. And this system, like a lot of systems, brings us back into our body, back into our aura, back into our energy, and awakes inside us that voice, that unique voice that is there for each of us and that resonates so profoundly within, that tells you this is what you need to do because you just know, right?
Can you give us an example of your life and your authority? Or
sure. Like a way my authority works, I have a splenic authority. So it's really a survival based system. It's not very intelligent. It's just a sort of warning. It's a sort of click, and I just know I have to do something or I have to be somewhere. An example that I use a lot is during the Paris attacks in 2015. For those who don't know, some men came and massacred some people in the streets and in other places. And at that night, there was a football game on the same night. And for the first time in months, I decided, and I never watched soccer with my friends, but I decided to invite them to my house 50 kilometers away from Paris. And I had never gotten anyone to go there, but this time, like 12 of my friends moved over. We all went to watch the game, and all of the attacks happened in the neighborhood, which I was always going to, right? Which was the neighborhood where I hung out, where I worked, where, you know, and that's the sort of intuitive knowing that guides me. All right. And I don't necessarily know in the day to day, but sometimes it manifests differently for like smaller things. And I just go somewhere and I follow it, but it's subtle, you know, it's just connecting to that heart space. It's very subtle. And also for some of us, it makes no sense. I don't know why I'm doing this. I just know that I have to do it. Right. And for example, I'm for my book, that is going to come out, I'm looking for a literary agent, someone to represent me, to find me a publisher, right? And so I looked up and I'm like, what's the literary agents in Canada? So I'm looking at my phone and I see, and I feel nothing. My body does not react to it. There's nothing in my body. And then at some point I end up on a list that's literary agents in New York. And then suddenly my body starts to feel this enthusiasm. There's this aliveness that starts to come, and I'm looking at it and I start to be super. And that's when, you know, there's no lying in that. But you need that deep deconditioning to get there. And that's what we've been doing since I discovered this system 4 years ago now. That's all I've been doing is deconditioning myself. And I still make mental decisions every day, every single day. The thing that I usually say to people when they're discovering human design is psychology, right, is also a study of conditioning, but it's a study of behavioral conditioning, right? Where you've lived, who your parents were, the school you went to, the trauma that you've experienced, all of those experiences have conditioned you in a certain way to think and act in a certain way, right? That's psychology. Well, human design studies energetic conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's beyond. It's the energy that's in your body and the way it circulates and the way it activates itself before a thought pattern even emerges. So it's the body before the thought, before the mind.
Mm-hmm. And but you have to be really aware of that, right? Otherwise you miss it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's really like tackling the issue at its core.
Because is as you just said it, because it's the body that then sends the signal, and then the mind gets that. Well, we've always been treating the symptom, right? We've always been treating like what's going on in the mind and never going back to the body. And as you said, it's really shifting away from all of these mind-based decisions of, you know, taking a pencil and putting a pros and cons list of like, what's the best thing to do this, to do that. I don't think there's any possible worse solution to make any decision than doing that, because that's clearly not listening to what's going on energetically. And so that's really what human design is about, bringing you back there to that source.
But how does human design teach you to be in your body?
I think what this system does is it's naming things, all right? It's naming things. And so when you read them, when you learn about them, when you discover them by reading, by studying whatever how your interaction with human design is, you feel that resonance awakening. And you're like, oh, well, this makes sense. And your intuition starts to activate itself and you start to resonate. You're like, I have nothing else than blind faith for this system. I mean, I will never be able to prove it except by how I'm living my life right now and how these decisions have been working out for me. Mm-hmm. But it's just that resonance that activates through the study, and you start to feel you start to feel that awakening inside of you.
Okay.
Because it speaks, because there's the right words. And when we can make a small note on that, but there's another system that we've been working with, Cassian and me. It's the one of the gene keys. And that one has... It's the same one. It's the same principle of really reading these words that really touch another part of you that is rarely, rarely touched in our day and age. And all of a sudden you start to understand things in a very different perspective.
Can you talk a little bit about our gene keys? Can we talk about that?
Briefly, if I had to say something, and Christian can maybe elaborate, is with human design, it's a system that is very body and I would say action oriented. It's really teaching you how to act and behave in this world in a way that's more aligned with you. It's kind of a very masculine energy.
Okay.
If I had to put one of those polarities on it, I would put the masculine there. And the gene keys is a system that is discovered through contemplation and through observation, and therefore is very... I'll let Kessian talk more about the gene keys. He's been studying and that a bit more than I have.
Sure. And it's exactly what you're saying. The gene keys are a more feminine path. It's more of a receptive. It's, you said it, human design is doing and gene keys is being. And I think that for anyone that's listening to this, if you are at a crossroads and looking for guidance into your own uniqueness, look at both of these systems and choose one path. I don't think any path is better than the other. I think all these systems, and there are more, are valid. Just choose one. Don't dive into everything at the same time, because there are different paths and they deserve to be recognized as such.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the gene keys is based also on astrology, also on the I Ching, which is an ancient Chinese text, which is very important to both systems. And Richard Rudd, who is the creator or bringer of the Jinkies into the world, was a student of Ra Uruhu, who brought human design. So he owes a lot to him. And so it's sort of the sister to human design, but it's a very different path. And I think that whoever wants to find some answers needs to choose which path they want.
And choose with what you feel in your body. That's the quick first step. That's the good first step.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I really use the most, and this can work for in different ways for people. I'm more of a visual person. What makes you smile? You know, what brings a light feeling into your heart? Whatever your intuition may be, you know, if you're really struggling to listen and awaken your body intelligence, if you have two paths, you need to choose one. Just feel what makes you smile, you know, and get out of the head and just like, oh, you know, like, oh yeah, this is fun. This seems, you know, light, funny. My heart sort of, you know, moves, and I'm like, yes, I'm going to go towards this.
So I just have a, cause I'm the perfect guinea pig for this, what we're talking about now, because it sounds amazing what you're talking about. Yeah. Just what makes you smile. But I'm
there it comes. As a,
and I'm sure people listening, well, maybe not we'll all, relate. But yeah, I'm sure. Because we still tend to be in our heads a lot, even though I do all the practices, you know, on a regular, on a daily basis, and I listen to my body. But sometimes my mind tricks me so much into thinking I want something. It's a resistance, for example, to in what I'm supposed to really do, you know, what I want to do and what I'm supposed to do. And then my mind is like, oh, but that thing there, oh yeah. And it just showed, and it just appeared on my computer. I was not looking for that, and it appeared, and it must be a sign. And in my body, it feels so good. And then a few days later, I'm like, yeah, it would be cool, but it's just a distraction, right? And then I just have to wait and find reason again and think, no, but what is this gonna, I saw a job, for example. I was looking for an office, and I saw that job, and I was like, wow, so cool, in the theater industry, dance, concerts, and it's exactly the kind of job I could do. I'm super qualified for that in an office.
But you're already past the point, you see, you're already past the point, because you're describing all of the mental reasons of why they check all the right boxes.
No, but in my body, it felt really good. You know, I was like, oh yeah, oh yeah. I had the smile on my face, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I,
but then
I waited a few days and I had the answer. But you know what I mean? With the mind.
And that's you. Yeah. And that's yours specifically, like me. It's like, we do need to take that time for things to become more and more clear, and they do come clear over time. And that the only things that are still sticking in my life today are the ones that, after all of this time, keep coming back, keep coming back, keep coming back. And that, I guess we can relate on this, me and you, is it's the pace of the world that's our worst enemy sometimes.
Totally.
Because everything goes at such a crazy speed, and then I like this analogy of a massive cargo ship, and then when you start to turn left, it takes half a day to turn around, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's so humongous, and we're kind of those, you know. And it's accepting that things will take a lot of time in order to become really clear. And this is just one of the authorities. There's so many others, so it's very different for every person.
Another marker, I would say, for intuition-based decisions, and from what I've noticed for me and for people around me, is your intuition will usually guide you off either the beaten path or off into the unknown. Like, the marker, something that really resonates with a mind decision, is that the mind recycles things. It recycles experiences that you've already had. It sort of puzzles them together, and it's like, oh, look, this bright new opportunity repackaged just for you that has all the things that you love in it, this and this and this. And the truth is, intuition will always pull you to new experiences, will always pull you into stepping up into your life, stepping up into whatever it is, your freedom or your lifestyle or your new relationship, or bringing you to those new experiences. And so there's always going to be a little bit of fear. There's always going to be a little bit of doubt. There's always going to be some excitement. There's all these things. But usually, when you're following your intuition, when you take that jump, you have no idea where you're going. If you know exactly where you're going, then that's probably because it's been set up with your mind and you've chosen a very, very mental pathway, which is exactly, oh, I know this is going to happen, then this is going to happen, then this is going to happen. It's like it's scheduled.
There's always a percentage of unknown for sure whenever you're going to take a decision that really is aligned with your body and such. There's always going to be a big part of unknown. And
That is a
yeah, that's right,
great,
that's a good
great
marker. yeah
message.
yeah
I'll remember that next time.
mm. Yeah,
Thank you.
if you're not scared, it's probably not
It's the
the
wrong decision. Thank you so much. I think, do you want to add something? But I think that's pretty good.
I feel like adding something. Just one last piece of advice that I would share with people who are looking for guidance and that dive into these systems to find a new way of understanding themselves and really want to dive into that intuition and that inner body intelligence, that inner heart intelligence. These systems are very exciting. They're very exciting. There's a lot to them. They are complex, and the mind thrives on that complexity. And it's very easy to dive right away and to buy all the books and to sort of flood yourself with that energy and say, oh, now I'm listening to all the podcasts, I'm buying all the books, I'm in it, I'm in the experiment now. Like, nobody can touch me. And that's fine, I think it's a phase that we all have to go through. But I would If I had one advice, one thing that I would love to have heard when I started is simplicity. Just start with the very basis of these teachings, all right? And for human design, that is your strategy as what type you are and what your strategy is
Authority.
and your authority. What's your inner intuition? And those two things will keep you busy for years as they still do. They still do today for me. And all the other complexities of all the other parameters of your profile, of your maps and all those systems, they will come into place and they will sprout and spring from that understanding, from that foundation. So let that first deconditioning and understanding process blossom naturally. Allow that time to come into your life. That's super important. Because you need to just surrender to the process. Honestly, it's going to take time. Like, there's no avoiding
Yeah,
it.
it's 7 years. It's 7 years is the first cycle of deconditioning. So we're what, 4 years in? 4 or 5 years in?
Am, yeah, about 4.5 years in, I think.
So we're still white belts here. It is going to take time. It definitely is going to take time. Yeah.
But it's super fun.
It's
It
super
is.
fun, and the results I feel have come very rapidly. Like, right away, it definitely puts you on a different path and makes you experiment way different things in your life, makes you experience different things in your life.
And a good way to start would be a reading with Cassian or coaching with you.
So yeah, what we generally do is, because Gessin is a non-sacral being and I'm a sacral being, I take all the generators and he takes all of the other
Ah, nice.
types, because then we can speak of experience, and because we're really here to share our experience rather than giving a a textbook reading of what the other person's map
absolutely
is.
So in a reading, basically we take maybe an hour and a half to look over the basics and understanding of human design, and then we bring that specifically to your design and the specificities of your design and how to approach it. And for me as a projector, I'm going to share my experience as a non-energy type and non-sacral, and how I have navigated life and those little tips and those little things from those years of experience. And just to sort of, you know, let you fly off the ledge at the beginning until you can go into your own experiment. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there are a lot of resources you can find to dive in. If you're more of a self-empowered analytical type, you'll find everything that you need, I'm sure, to guide yourself on that journey. But just take it easy.
Thanks.
Thank you, Ophelie.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
We can do another topic another day, right? I'm sure.
Absolutely.
So much more to share.
Absolutely.
And I'm the one who learns the most every time, so
that's the head fake, you know. That's like the real reason that you do it. I hope.
And have a great day. Thank you all for listening.